I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 7. Song of Solomon. Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. We know this. We know that the Lord has a people that he loves. Now we know that. The Lord has declared, Jeremiah 31:3, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Now we know that. Now here's what I want to preach on this morning. How do I know that the Lord loves me? I know he loves his people. But how do I know he loves me? Song of Solomon, chapter 7. I'd like to deal with verses 10 to 13. The bride speaking says this, I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Now the bride is saying something of assurance. I am my beloved's. She's saying that I know that I am a blood-bought possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. She knows something about not being her own, bought with a price. But how would she know that? We can't go right now into the Lamb's Book of Life and read it. It's there. But we don't have access to it right now. How is it that a sinner has some assurance of life in Christ? How can I truthfully and heartily say this, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. How do you know that? The only way that a sinner possesses any assurance of life in Christ is by the Lord's revelation of his love to her, to the sinner, through the experience of that love according to the Scriptures. Now, what did I just say? What I said is this. Anybody can say, I know that I'm a Christian. I know that I'm a Christian. You and I need to realize something. If we can't back that up with the Word of God and see what God has to say concerning the character of a believer. If we can't back it up and our character doesn't match what it is, then something's wrong. We must be able to back up. The Scripture says, John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, now that is, hears it with a new ear of faith, and believeth on him that sent me. That is, not, as I've said before, not believing that there is a Jesus Christ. Demons believe that there's a Jesus Christ. But believeth on him, that is, casting and trusting my eternal soul to him totally. Not looking to anything. Well, I believe the 5 points of Calvinism. Satan believes the 5 points of Calvinism. I'm a member of Katy Baptist Church. There have been a lot that's been members here. He that heareth my word and believeth on him, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that hears the gospel preached and has faith imparted to believe on Christ, the object of the gospel, does not, I cannot say this enough, if you believe that you're a believer because you did something, you're not a believer. I was baptized. I walked down the aisle. I prayed through. I've always been a member here. He that heareth my word and believeth on him hath everlasting life. Now, I'm going to read these four verses, 10, 11, 12, 13. And I'm going to set forth, Lord willing, why. What's the evidence of her statement? I am my beloved's. And his desire is toward me. What gives her that assurance? What gives the bride the assurance to say, he has made me willing in the day of his power to come to him, and he's promised to never cast me out, and he's given me a heart to consider all of my former works of self-righteousness to be nothing but dung. What is it that gives her the right or the assurance to say, I am my beloved's? I am my beloved's by gift from the Father, by purchase of his blood, and by my heart's desire and surrender to him. I ask him, Lord, save me. What is the ground of my hope in him? What is the ground of my hope to say his desire is toward me? All right, now let me tell you the first thing that I know concerning the desire of the Lord toward his people. Now, may the Lord, by his Spirit, give us a heart to hear this. Because we need to hear it. Number one, he died for. Now, Ephesians 5:25 sets forth the word concerning God's pleasure and exhibition of his love to his people. Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, his desire is toward all that he died for. His desire is toward... What was the difference between the dying thief that cried out for mercy and the dying thief that didn't? The Lord's desire toward the dying thief that cried out for mercy was manifest in that the dying thief did it. His desire is toward me. His desire is for me. By faith, that dying thief said, Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, I know you got a kingdom. I know that you're dying right now for me. Would you remember me? Would you remember me? His desire is toward me. This was not presumption on his part, on the bride's part. It's not presumption with no scriptural foundation, but rather it's a sure foundation set forth by divine revelation from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Let me ask you this. Whenever Christ died, do you believe that he died to make salvation possible? Or that he actually paid the debt of all that the Father has ever given him? Now, let me tell you something. Why he died makes all the difference in the world. Everybody and their brother, except a believer, believes that he died for the sins of the whole world. And he did not. I mean, you John 10:15, go back and look at it. 1 John 5:20 says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we're in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." How do I know that his desire is toward me? He's given me a heart to believe that he died for me. He died for me. I do not believe for one second that one drop of his blood was shed in vain. If he died for everybody and everybody's not converted, then there's people in hell that is manifesting that he's a failure. He's a failure. He died to make it possible, but he couldn't save them. First time, as I've said before, you open your mouth and say, well, he left it up to you to make the decision. Now we're into works. As I've said before, it's not going to fly. How do I know that his desire is toward me? He died for me. His desire is toward me. Had he not everlastingly loved his people? Had he eternally not purposed to redeem them and to bring them to God, bring them to the Father, holy and without blame before, he would not have died. He would not have died. Greater love, John 15:13, hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And he said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Well, that's going to lead me to my second point. Back in Song of Solomon 7, I know this, his desire is toward those for whom he died. And the Spirit of God is going to, before they die and leave this world, they're going to give them a new heart to believe that. They're going to believe what God has to say about the crucifixion. The second thing I know concerning her assurance that he is her beloved and his desire is toward her is found in verse 11. The bride says to the beloved, says to Christ, come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Now, what is she saying? Here's what she said. Let us go into the country. Into the field, the place of retirement. In those green pastures that you lead me to lie down in. Now, where did she come up with that thought? To say unto him, let us go. Well, in Song of Solomon 2, verses 9 and 10, that's what he said to her. The scripture says in verse 9, my beloved, that's the Lord Jesus. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. But he said something to her. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Now he just told her something. He told her, he gave her a commandment concerning his will. His purpose for her. So therefore, what does she say back to him? You know, it's always the safest thing in the world to say back to the Lord what the Lord has said to us. Don't try to come up with some new thing. That won't work. But to repeat back to him. So she says the same thing to him that he first said to her. She says, come, my beloved. according to your word, according to your command. Let us go forth into the field. Lord, according to your will, let us lodge in the villages. It's a blessing to repeat, you know. Let's go to the pleasant place. Let's go to the field. Let's go to the field of your scriptures. Those that you've opened up. Let's go to the field of assembling with your people. Let's go to the field of the retirement of the prayer closet. What she's saying is, Lord, wherever you lead, that's where I want to go. Wherever you direct me, wherever you bid me go. The bride rejoices in her relation to Christ and in the fact that she has an interest in Him. So she humbly desires communion with Him. Lord, let us walk together. Lord, like the two on the road to Emmaus, you came up, you walked with them. Lord, let us go. Let's go into the field that I may receive counsel, instruction, and comfort from you. To her, she longs for quietness with Him, fellowship with Him, communion with Him. You that believe, are you not doing this very thing right now? Having communion wherever He's directed you. We're right here. We're in this world. Well, you say, well, we're sitting inside this church building. We're still in this world. We're in the field. But we're in the field with Him. His desire is toward me because I want to be with Him. I want to be where He is. Communion with Christ is what all that are made holy earnestly breathe after. That's what they want. Those that would converse with Christ must, in their heart, go forth from the world. They go forth. They're in the world, but they're not of the world. They do it in their heart. And you that know Him, you know and desire and long for that quiet time with Him as you hear the gospel preach. Right now, what are we doing? Well, we're going forth into the field. But we're going forth in communion. Lord, let us. You remember when the Lord told Moses, I'm going to send an angel. I'm not going with you. And Moses said, Lord, if you don't go, don't send us. Loneliest place would ever be where you're somewhere and you don't feel the presence or believe the presence of the Lord is there. That's a lonely place. You ever been somewhere where just... my mind is going to a place in Mexico where we were. We went into this heathen temple. And just to walk in that and see all of the silliness and the filth and the religion, it made you sick at your stomach to think the Lord's not in this place. This is anathema. The Lord is not here. She asked Him. She says, let's lodge in the villages. Lord, here we are. We're going forth into the field. Well, what a blessedness. We've gone forth. We're going forth with Him, but you know when we go forth with His people. Now there's communion. Now here's communion right here. Where we're found, two or three are gathered together in His name. We're together. We're meeting together. Gathered together. We're together. He's in the midst of us. There's no fellowship. Fellowship with Him is found when you're fellowshipping with God's people. When you're defending God's people. When you're covering their character. You're not doing or saying anything that would bring harm to their name or to their... Oh, you love the brethren. That's a believer. They love the brethren. Let's lodge in the villages. Now that's a sweet word right there. to understand what she said, you got to understand what words she used. Let's lodge in the villages. That is, the place protected by walls. And that word villages comes from a root word that means to cover, to appease, to make atonement, to cleanse, to disannul, to forgive, be merciful, pacify, pardon, to pitch, purge away, and to reconcile. Boy, what a word. What a word. Let's lodge in the villages. Let's lodge in that wall place of security. His desires toward me, because this is what I want to be. I want to be where He is, and I want to be secure in Him. That place of safety where the atonement has been made, where God is appeased toward us and no danger can come. That's where I want to be. Our hearts at this point are directed surely toward the cities of refuge in the Old Testament. Six cities on this side of Jordan, six cities on that side of Jordan. 12 cities, all spoke of Christ, every one of them. Let's lodge in those villages. Let's lodge in that place where we're protected from the avenger of blood, safe and secure. Lord, I want to be found in You. His desires toward me, because He who has loved me first has given me a love for Him, and not for myself, not for my ability. Lord, let's lodge. Lord, would You allow me to stay, to reside in that walled village of pardon and atonement, forgiveness? It's what Paul said. Oh, to be found in Him. To be found in Him. In that village. She knows that her desire, he's her beloved, and His desires toward her, because He's given her a heart to seek her security only in Him. No place else. Thirdly, His desires toward me, because of this manifestation. Listen. She says, let us, verse 12, get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. I tell you the way she knows the third way. Number one, He died for her. And she has a heart to only be found in Him. Secure. And thirdly, we find this manifestation of those that the Lord desires toward. Her priority and faithfulness and desire for that which He has commissioned her to do. When the Lord was about to ascend into heaven, He commissioned His disciples, and this is what He said. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now let me tell you how the church, the bride, knows that His desire is toward her. Because she has a heart to obey what He has commissioned her to do. What's He commissioned her to do? The Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't tell them, go and preach to every creature. He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's a big difference between preaching and preaching the gospel. What does the bride say to the Lord? She says, let us get early. Let's go to the vineyards. Here's what the bride longs for. His kingdom come. His will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Her desire toward him who has a desire toward her is she longs for obedience. What is the attitude of a believer when it comes to the salvation of God's elect? They desire it. But you know what a believer's going to do? He's going to preach the gospel to them and leave them alone. Leave them alone. I can't talk you into anything. I can't talk you into anything. I can try as hard as I want to. I cannot give you a new heart. I cannot give you a new mind, a new spirit. I can't do it. But I can tell you what I can do. I can preach the gospel. I can ask you to pray for me. That's what I can ask you to do. Pray for. Paul asked that. Brethren, pray for us. I go, but here's what the bride desires. Let's go early to the vineyards. The believer looks out in pity to a perishing world that lies in wickedness. You know why? A world that every believer knows something about it because they were there at one time. They know something about spiritual darkness and self-righteousness. And the bride longs for the salvation of God's own and desires that the Lord would save His people exactly the way He said He would, through preaching the gospel. I want God. There's some people sitting in this congregation this morning that I'm convinced know the Lord. And there's some that very possibly don't. You know what Paul the Apostle said? He who believed the gospel of God's free grace. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I don't want anybody to perish. But I can tell you this, I'm not the final authority. I can preach the gospel to you. Let's go early to the vineyards. Let's go into the vineyard of your people that's found within the desert of this world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, I know there's some oases out there. There's some vineyards out there. I know that. Let's go. Who are these vineyards? Well, thanks be unto God, He didn't leave us to wonder who is the vineyard. Listen to this. Isaiah 5:7. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Lord, you got a people out there. I know you do. Let's go. Lord, let's go. Let's go to the garden of your love, the place, that location that you only know. The vineyard of your mercy where you have a people that you're surely going to call out of spiritual darkness. And Lord, let us be seeking first your kingdom, your righteousness. Let us be found obediently preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Lord, let's get up early. Let's see if the vine flourish. Let's see whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. You know, there's nothing that's more beautiful to a believer than to behold the first drawings of God's grace to His people. It's like the appearance the Scripture sets forth of the tender grape, the budding pomegranate. How wonderful to behold the mercy of Almighty God to call out some sheep. And you watch them. And you see them. You see them. Before, they didn't talk like a believer. Now they do. Just tender grape. To observe the working of the Lord in the hearts, creating an interest in Him, keeping them under the sound of the gospel. All the while, those that have known Him in grace are praying in their heart, Lord, let's see if the vine flourish. Lord, let's see. Let's see whether the tender grape's going to appear. Let's see, Lord, if you will, you can. Let us behold what you alone can do. Produce the fruit of your Spirit in the hearts of your people according to your will and purpose. I know this. The believer's heart and love for him is totally because of his love for her. I know that. Just like when the Lord was 12 years old, and he was separated from Mary and Joseph, and they didn't know where he was. They lost him 3 days, came back and found him, and he said, "Wist not that I must be about my Father's business?" How do I know that his desire's toward me, toward us that believe? How do I know that? We want to be about the Father's business. Preaching the gospel is my life. Is my life. It's my life. Nothing matters above this. This is my life. Lord, let's see. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The scripture says, the bride says to him, "Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let's see if the vine flourishes. Let's see whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth." Then she says to him, "There will I give thee my loves. There will I give thee. There will I render or show forth my loves." You know how a believer is known? They love the brethren. They love the brethren. They defend the brethren. They're taken up with the preaching of the gospel. They support it. They pray for it. Let's see. And then lastly, the Lord, exhibiting his desire toward her, he gives her an answer concerning whether or not he has produced any fruit in the vineyard. She made the statement, "I am my beloved's and his desires toward me." What's she base that on? She wants communion with him. That's it. I want communion with him. I'm not gonna share him with anything else in this world. Him. She wants to be obedient in doing what he said to do. You go into all the world and you preach the gospel. You preach the gospel to every creature. And then he gives her, as she desires to see the fruit. Let's see if the Lord's been pleased to do something. And he told her. He said, "This is how you're going to know. You be obedient to me. You preach the gospel and I'll tell you how you're going to know whether or not I've been pleased to call Lizzie any grapes or pomegranates or vines to flourish. I'll tell you how you'll know. The mandrakes give a smell. At our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I've laid up for thee, O my beloved." How's she going to know? How? He says, "Well," he said, "the mandrakes." The mandrakes, I found out, were sweet-smelling flowers of the field. They were thought to be flowers of love. And in our context of our passage, the Lord answers the bride when she says, let's see if there's any fruit. Lord, let's see if you've been pleased to bring forth fruit. He said, "Here's how you're going to know. The mandrakes, they give a smell. They give a smell. They have a fragrancy about them." These mandrakes are believers that God's called out of darkness. They have a smell about them. What do they smell like? Well, Psalm 45 verses 6 to 8. This is how they smell. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom, like a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness, hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes, cassia, out of ivory palaces, whereby they've made thee glad." He said, "They're going to smell like me. They're going to smell like righteousness. Oh, they're well aware of what they are inside. They know that in them, that is in their flesh, they know that there's no good thing. They know that. But I tell you what they smell like. They have a savor of life. They smell as they exhibit the fruit of God's Spirit. Love and meekness and kindness and long-suffering and gentleness. They don't have a spirit of animosity and resentment, rebellion, backbiting. How are you going to know the mandrakes? They give a smell. They have a smell, of a savor. Then he tells her, at our gates, at our doors, at our entrances, are all manner of pleasant fruits. Every place where the Lord's been pleased to grant the blessing of the preaching and the hearing of the gospel. It smells the same. At our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits of God's Spirit. Do you know what it smells like whenever Mike Walker or Todd Neibert or Don Fortner, you know what it smells like when they preach the gospel and God calls out of darkness his mandrakes, his flowers of love? You know what it smells like? Same smell as here. Smells of love. Smells of Christ, blessing. Paul had asked concerning that door at all of our gates. Paul says, continue in prayer. Watch the same with thanksgiving, praying with all for us that God would open up us a door, a gate of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. Every place where the gospel is freely preached, there is the savor of Christ. The pleasant fruits of God's Spirit. Doesn't smell like that to everybody. The one were a savor of death unto death. The other a savor of life unto life. Who's sufficient? But the Lord said, this is how you'll know if I've blessed it. The mandrakes, they smell. They give a smell. At our gates are all manner of pleasant fruit. New and old. New and old. New and fresh and alive. Quickening every day. I haven't said anything today that you've never heard before. Oh, I might have used a different word, but it's the same message. But you know what? It was just as new and fresh and alive. It was new and old. Old in the sense that it had no beginning. It springs from the Lord. And this is what he said about that new and old, which I have laid up for thee, which I have treasured. I laid it up. Now listen to this. I've laid it up. I've hidden it. I've stored it for you. Remember when the Lord was praying, last passage of Scripture. He said, I've taken this truth that I've taught you. Lord, your desires toward me. How does she know that? Well, she wants to be with him. He died for her. She wants to be obedient. And he said, this is how you'll know what I've done. Savor of life. You taught the gospel. He said, I've laid that up for you, oh my beloved. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. How do I know that the Lord's desire is toward me? How do you know? Well, according to His Scriptures, there is a desire to be where He is. I want to be where He's honored. I want to be where His gospel's preached. I want to be found faithful. I want to be found faithful to preach the gospel, to support the gospel in all the world. I want to be found in fellowship with God's people. I want to be able to be with them, fellowship with them, be one with them, heart. And I need for the Lord to teach me the evidence of Him doing a work in the lives of His people, me. I pray God bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, Gary.